If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Samuel. I would like to read from 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. While you're turning there, I would remind you that this morning we tried to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12, where the Word of God says that the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I tried to exhort the church, for all of us, to be praying for God to give us men like the men of Issachar, men of understanding of the times, to know what the people of God ought to do, and that God would bless those men to teach the people of God what they ought to do. Now, the subject that's on my heart tonight is really following up on that, and that is that the people of God, once they have been given men of understanding that know what the people ought to do, and they have taught the people what they ought to do, the message that's on my heart tonight is the responsibility of the people of God to do what God has taught them to do. I am amazed that so many of God's people are in so much ignorance of the Word of God. Does that sometimes amaze you? The ignorance of the Word of God. And God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so it's a very serious matter that we're facing today because God's people are going in all different directions because they don't know what the Word of God says. So we need to pray that God will help all of us to study. God will give us understanding of His Word. God will help us to spread the truth of His Word. And that God will help all of us to be doers of God's Word and not hearers only. 2 Samuel chapter 15, we'd like to begin reading with the 13th verse and read through verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. Now, the occasion here is where, how many of you know the what kind of relationship was there between, and listen, I said relationship, there's a difference in relationship and fellowship. What kind of relationship was there between King David and Absalom? Say it again. Father-son. That was their relationship, was a father-son relationship. King David, his son, one of his son's name was Absalom. Now, what was the fellowship between King David and Absalom? All right, they were at war. That's exactly right. This is an example of a father and son. It's amazing that families can become so divided, but because of the greed and the jealousy of Absalom for his father, he wanted the throne that his father was sitting on, so Absalom was trying repeatedly to kill his own daddy. And Absalom had many followers, many people that wanted Absalom to be the king. That's the kind of the scene that we're looking at tonight, is where Absalom is desiring to kill his father. And we're going to read now from 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. The Word of God says, and there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. That is, there are many, many of the children of Israel that are following Absalom. Verse 14 says, and David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. I think that David must have had some degree of joy that even though his son Absalom was so strongly against him and despised him and wanted to kill him, I think that it must have caused David to have some degree of joy to know that he still had servants that were going to stand by him and stand with him. Now, there were many others that departed from David, but there were servants of David that stood with him through the end. I want you to notice the wording now of the king's servants. We're going to relate this. Who do you think we're going to relate all this to? David, though he was king and lord of these people, we're relating all of this to our king and our lord. that just as there were servants of David that were willing to follow him to death, there need to be more of the servants of God that are willing to follow God and do whatever God tells them to do. So these servants of King David, the Scripture says in verse 15, "And the king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And they did that. Everything that David told them to do, they followed their lord and their king. Now, if we can look at the allegiance that the servants of David had to their lord, and this is a little L and a little K, when we talk about David being their lord and their king, there's a greater lord and a greater king than David was. Now, he's called the son of David, but he was worshipped and honored by David. And so David looks forward to the fact that one day Jesus Christ, called the Son of David, who is now the King of kings and Lord of lords, today, right now, this isn't something that's going to happen one day. Jesus is already King of kings and Lord of lords. And the people of God, the children of God, as they live in this earth, they ought to have the same kind of allegiance. In fact, we ought to have a greater allegiance to our Lord and King than David's servants had to him. But what was it that David's servants said? The Scripture says, "And the king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready." We could just stop right there, and I would ask you, are you ready to do anything? And that's what they said. "Thy servants are ready to do whatsoever our Lord and our King shall appoint." Are you ready to do anything and everything that your Lord and your King would appoint and tell you to do? Do you think that you're really ready to do anything and everything that your Lord and your King would tell you to do? I want us to first begin by looking at a few of the saints of God that were indeed, just like these servants of David, were ready to do whatsoever their Lord and their King appointed for them to do. I believe that in all ages of the world there have been a remnant of the people of God that have been ready and willing to do whatever God told them to do. If you think about the saints of God in the Old Testament, who would be one that you would think of that you would say, now, that truly is a great example of a servant of God that was willing to do whatever God told him to do? Who comes to your mind when you think about somebody in the Old Testament that certainly you could say, now, that was a person that was really ready to do whatever God told him to do? Who comes to your mind? All of you are correct. There were a lot of different names that came out. But every one of the names that you mentioned, some of the names that were mentioned was Noah. That was one that somebody mentioned. I'll tell you, brethren, when God told him to go out and build an ark and the size of that ark and all that he was told to do, it took a tremendous amount of faith. But Noah went out and did what God told him to do. It didn't have to make sense to him. It didn't matter that he didn't have a place to float that boat. It didn't matter that he had never seen rain fall from heaven. Noah did what God commanded him to do. It's a great example of faith. Someone else mentioned Abraham. How great a faith can you ever find in a man that when God would tell him, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, take him up on that mountain and offer him as a sacrifice." Brethren, can you fathom, can you comprehend the confidence that Abraham had in God and the faith he had in God and the commitment that he had in God that he would say, "Whatsoever my Lord and my King tells me to do, whatever you appoint to me to do, I'll do it." Now, I thank God that Abraham did what God told him to do. It's a wonderful way and a wonderful lesson there. You can go home and read in Genesis chapter 22 about the great faith of Abraham doing what God told him to do and then how God intervened in a miraculous way in all that was going on there. It's a beautiful scene, a beautiful foreshadowing of the coming of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Someone else, who else did you mention besides Noah and Abraham? We just mentioned one other one. Somebody else mentioned one. Okay, Joshua. Oh, brethren, you go home and read about Joshua. You read about how God told him to be strong and of good courage. You remember how Moses had led the children. Was Moses a great man of God? Whatever God told him to do, he did it. He went out and he led the children of Israel. But listen, Moses got so angry at the children of Israel, he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and he was not allowed to enter the land of Canaan. But then Joshua, great man of God, one of the 12 spies that was sent out, Joshua stood up and was leading the children of Israel on into the land of Canaan. And when God began to call Joshua to be the leader after Moses, God told Joshua to be strong and of good courage. And whatever God told Joshua to do, Joshua did it. He could say, like these servants said to David, Joshua could say, whatsoever my Lord and my King, whatever my God tells me to do, that will I do. Whatever He appoints to me to do, I'll do it. And he went out, Caleb and Joshua, two great men of God that did whatever God told them to do. All the way through the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you find many saints of God that would say, just like these servants said to David, that whatsoever my Lord and my King appoints for me to do, I'll do it. Now, one thing we need to first ask is, what is it that God would have us to do? You may be sitting there thinking, I'm ready to do whatever God tells me to do. How many of you think that you're ready, at least to some degree? How many of you think that you're ready to do whatever God tells you to do? How many of you, surely some of you, think that you're ready to do whatever God tells you to do? All of us ought to be ready. Now, all of us ought to at least think we're ready, even if we're not ready. Sometimes people think they're ready when they're not ready, and we'll look at that. But right now, I want you to think about, do you know? How many of you sometimes wonder what it is the Lord would have you to do? How many of you have ever wondered about that? I don't know what the Lord would have me to do sometimes. Sometimes I'm in a quandary, and I want to do whatever the Lord would have me to do, but sometimes don't we reach that question mark in our lives when we say, now, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because I want to do whatever you want me to do. I know and I understand that the only way that I can have joy in this world, the only way I can please my God and my Father is to do what He tells me to do. First song that we sang tonight was Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Whatever He tells us to do, we ought to be willing to do it. Whenever Jesus came to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, you remember when Jesus appeared to him and Saul of Tarsus fell down on the ground. And do you remember the words that Saul of Tarsus asked Jesus right there while he was laying on the ground? He said, Lord, what? What wilt thou have me to do? Well, isn't that the question that I think all of us need to ask tonight? Lord, what is it you want me to do? Isn't that a reasonable question? If we have a commitment, if we have the faith, and we say, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it, then the next thing we need to know is, well, what is it that God would have me to do? Now, first of all, let me say that in all of God's Word, there are many things that are common to all the people of God. There are things that God would have all the people of God to be doing. Everybody follow what I'm saying? For example, the Word of God says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. Is that something everybody in this building ought to be doing? That's something every one of us ought to be doing. The Word of God says that we need to be praying. Is that something every one of us ought to be doing? Does the Word of God says we ought to be studying God's Word? Does the Word of God say that we need to be bridling our tongue? If any man bridleth not his tongue, then his religion is in vain. All through the Word of God, we have many things the Word of God tells us to do. And if we're not doing the things that all of God's people ought to be doing, listen carefully to what I'm saying. If you want to know what God would have you specifically to do in your life, if you're seeking some kind of direction about what God's will is for your life, what do you need to do? The first thing you need to do is everything else that God's already told you in His Word to do. Don't ever start asking God to guide you and direct you in your personal decisions in your life until you have first done the ABCs of religion. If you haven't done those basic things, if you're not already doing the things God tells you plainly that all of His people are to be doing, then when you start asking God to guide you in some way in your life, God will not be guiding you, but the devil will guide you. Did you know the devil will guide you? Well, sometimes people say, well, the door was open. I thought the Lord opened the door. Did you know the devil can open doors? And God is not the only one that leads the people of God. Sometimes the devil leads us. And we need to pray that God will help us to try the spirits, whether they be of God. And we feel led one way and we feel led another way, but we don't know what to do. How do you know what to do? How can you find out what to do? Proverbs 3:5. Brother Mike, every time I think about it, I think of you. Tell me what it says.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and lean not to thine own... Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Let's pause right there. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Let me tell you, let me just ask you, in the morning when you get up, tell me how you're going to acknowledge the Lord. Somebody tell me, in the morning, you wake up, how are you going to acknowledge the Lord, Sister Michelle? Thank the Lord for sparing me and my family through another night. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sparing me and my family. Until you wake up and you find one of your children dead, you'll never know how thankful to be every morning when you get up and you find that you and your family are alive. Thank you, Lord, for letting us live through another night. Thank you, Lord, for sparing the members of the church and the friends of the church through another night. That's acknowledging that you're in the providential care of God. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him when you wake up. Acknowledge Him all during the day. When you're trying to go about your daily activities, don't you ever begin your day without praying fervently, God, help me today. Guide me today. We tried to study last Wednesday night or the Wednesday night before that. Commit thy works unto the Lord. You remember that? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and He shall establish thy faults. Whenever you commit your works to the Lord and you begin your day, and you know what God would have you to do that day, and you commit those works to the Lord, God will establish your thoughts. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you acknowledge Him when you do something contrary to His Word? Are you acknowledging Him then? No. Then you're not acknowledging Him. But when you're doing what God's Word says to do, and you're trying to live the way the Word of God tells you to live, that's acknowledging He is your God. He's your Lord. He's your King. That's what the servants of David said. Whatever my Lord and my King appoints me to do, I'll do whatever you lead me to do. And in all of our ways, we need to acknowledge God. Because if we do that, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct what? Thy paths. Will He then direct your paths if you in all your ways acknowledge Him? Do you know that's true? If you follow God's Word and you do what God's Word tells you to do, if you're doing the ABCs, if you're doing the things that He spells out in His Word for you to be doing as a Christian, then when you come to specific decisions that you need to make in your life that are not specifically answered in the Word of God, in all your ways, God will direct your paths if you've been following the written Word. Does everybody follow that? Did you know there's some things that you don't specifically have an answer to in the Bible? Now by that, what I mean is, some of you teenagers, you're beginning to graduate from high school, get close to graduating. You know, does the Bible, can I turn to you, Brother Wendell, and say, now, Brother Wendell, you need to go to Georgia Southern College, and you need to study XYZ. Can I tell you that God says that? No, I can't tell you what God would have him to do about whether or not to go to college or where to go or what to study. Those are decisions that all of us have to make in our lives. And we will only be led by the Spirit of God in those decisions if we have already been acknowledging Him and doing what He tells us, specifically spelled out in His Word. Does everybody understand that? Now, are you ready to do whatever God would tell you to do? Are you ready? Are you ready to do whatever God would tell you to do? Do you know the only way you're ever going to be happy in this world is if you are ready to do whatever God tells you to do? And the only way you're ever going to know what God would have you to do is if you are already doing the things God's already told you to be doing. In my ministry, I probably have had about 15 different men who have come to me and said, Brother Billy, I feel called to preach. And you know what I've told all of them except one? You know what I've told them? You get out there and do the basics of religion. You get out there and just be a Christian. You get out there and just start visiting, doing the things you need to be doing daily as a Christian, and come back to me in 6 months after you've spent 6 months doing what you need to be doing as a Christian. Because the burden they had was not to be a minister of the gospel or a preacher or a pastor. The burden, the thing God was burdening their heart was what? To be a servant. That's right. To be a servant of the Lord. He was burdening their heart to be a Christian. He was burdening their heart to be faithful to God. He was burdening their heart to reach that point in their lives. They're willing to do whatever God tells us to do. And when you reach that point where you're willing to do whatever God would have you to do, and then you start doing all the things He tells you to do, then He will guide you in all other ways in your life. He cannot deny it. It's undeniable. I can give you a guarantee on that, that when you do the things God would have you to do, and you do it for the right purpose, to His honor and glory, and you do it because you love God, God will direct every other pathway of your life. Isn't that a peaceful thing? Isn't that assurance to you to know, if I just do what He's already told me to do, He's going to guide me in everything else I need to do? That causes joy in my life. To know I don't have to wonder about what to do in my life. He will guide me. He will guide me if I do what He's been telling me to do already. Are you ready to do whatever God would have you to do? Are you willing to do everything? Are you ready to do anything He tells you to do? Do you know what He would have you to do? Is there anybody here that knows some things God tells you in His Word to do that you're not doing yet? Does everybody follow my question? Is there anybody here that knows the Bible tells you to do some things that you're not doing in your life? Anybody? I'll tell you, there's some things I know that I ought to be doing that I'm not doing. Well now, how can I be asking Him to guide me in these things way down here when I haven't done the simple things, the ABCs, the first things? We need to get down to the first works, the basic works. Do those things. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Saul of Tarsus, when he was stricken down, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Did he want to know what to do? What's the first thing Jesus told him to do? Arise, get up off the ground now, Saul. Arise and go into the city. Go down that street called Straight into a house where they're praying. And in that house, you'll be told what to do. Now, was he already told what to do? Had he already been told what to do? He had been told something to do. Had he been told everything he was going to do? Hadn't been told everything. And that's the way it's going to be in your life, brethren. God will tell you step by step by step. He will guide you. He will direct you. You do the first things, and He'll tell you. He's not going to tell you, listen, brethren, I don't know what I'm going to be when I get grown yet. You know, all my life, people say, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, I don't know. I still don't know. I mean, I know what I am right now, but I don't know what I'm going to be when I get towards the end of my journey. Do you know what I'm saying? What are you going to do when you grow up? I'm talking about spiritually when you grow up. Where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? I don't know. Well, Philip, you ever felt that way? Lord, I don't know where I'm going to be or what I'm going to do. But listen, you just do the things you know to do today and quit worrying about what future holds. Just do what you know to do right now. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. You'll know what to do. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So he said, arise, go into the city. And then after he got in the city, a man came to him and taught him some things. You remember that? And then what did Saul go do next? He went out and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing. It's amazing, the grace of God, that God would take a man like Saul of Tarsus who had been killing Christians. It's amazing that God would use him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing that God would use somebody like me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ or anybody else. There's not a human being on this earth that's worthy to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the amazing grace of God. And yet Saul started preaching. He was ready. Was he ready? Did he do what his Lord and King told him to do? He went out and did it. Come down to Acts 21. I'm going through the book of Acts quickly in my mind, but I want you to turn to Acts 21 because there's something I want to read you here in Acts chapter 21. Did he do what his Lord and his King told him to do? Had Saul up to this point in Acts 21, had Saul of Tarsus, as far as we know and have any record in God's Word, brethren, Saul of Tarsus was following step by step what God would have him to do. There were times he wanted to go somewhere and God would not let him. There were times that God sent him somewhere and he didn't want to go. But Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, was obedient to his what? Blank and blank. His what? Lord and King. Acts chapter 21, come down to verse 10. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. The Word of God says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, what was the basic message? Just sum up, Brother Rich. Just sum up what they were saying. What was Agabus telling was going to happen to Paul? What was he basically saying? You're going to be held captive. Verse 12 says, And when we heard these things, this is Paul and all of his friends now, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, pronoun him refers to whom? To Paul. We besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Why? Why? It's because they loved Paul. They didn't want him to be bound. They didn't want him to be in prison. They did not want to consider the possibility of him being killed. But what about Paul? What about Paul? Paul was ready to do whatsoever his Lord and King commanded him. So it is that in verse 13, the Word of God says, Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready. You hear the words he says here? What's he say? What are those three words? I'm ready. I am ready. God's already told me what to do. I don't care what happens there. I'm going to go do what God told me to do. I am ready, he says in verse 13. I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, Paul was a man that was ready to do whatever his King and his Lord appointed him to do. Was he willing to die? Was he really willing to die? Don't you doubt it a moment, brethren. He was willing to die. He died. He was faithful unto death. Oh yes, there have been others that said they would. You remember Peter? Remember what Peter said? Lord, I'll be with you to the end. Was he ready? Did he think he was ready? He thought he was ready, but he wasn't ready, was he? And then whenever he said, I'm ready to die, just like Paul said these words, he said, I'm ready to die. Jesus told him, the cock will not crow till you've denied me thrice. Peter wasn't ready. Paul was ready. Are you? My question tonight is, are you ready to do whatever your King tells you to do? Are you ready to do whatever your Lord tells you to do? Are you ready to do whatever your Lord tells you to do? If you're not doing these things that are spelled out, you're not ready to do those higher things that He has for you to do later. In fact, He will not call you to do those higher things until you finish those basic things. He's not going to call you to be a captain. He's not going to call you to be a leader until you first become a good soldier. He's not going to call you to lead the people of God until you first... You know, everybody wants to be the chief, don't they? Well, we've got to be an Indian. We've got to be an humble servant. You know what finally the Lord will do? Be ye also ready. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man, what? Cometh. He's coming. Jesus is coming. So be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man coming. Those 10 virgins, were there some of them that were ready and did the will of the Father? Were there some of them? There were 5 that did the will of the Father. And the Scripture says, And they that were ready went into the marriage. Who was it that was ready? It was the 5 wise virgins. And then the Word of God tells us in the next parable, in Matthew 25, after the parable of the 10 virgins, you have a 5-talent servant. Was he doing whatever his Lord appointed unto him? What did the Lord give him? The Lord gave him 5 talents. What did he do? He went out and took those 5 talents and used them to the honor and glory of his Lord and his King. And when the King came back, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Did God lift him up to a higher level because he did the basic things that God had taught him to do? All the way through God's Word, you know what you'll find? There are some of God's people that say they're ready. You remember there was a man that had 2 sons in Matthew 21? A man that had 2 sons, called both his sons, told them to go out and work in the vineyard. What did one of them say? I'll go. He didn't go. You know, there's a lot of verbal commitments to Jesus Christ. A lot of people talk about what they're going to do for the Lord. Most people that talk about what they're going to do never do anything. It's the people of God that sometimes say, you know, I just don't think I can do it. But they go ahead and try anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what happens then? The Spirit of the Lord fills them and lifts them up, and they're able to do what they could not do without God's help. May God help us to be like those servants of David that said, we're ready to do whatsoever my Lord and my King appoints to us. May God help us to be ready and then to know what to do and then do what He tells us to do is my prayer for Christ's sake.